God. All right. What a time to go in the Word of God. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, platform. What a wonderful introduction into the very presence of the Lord. The Holy Ghost has been here the whole time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Amen. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not, everybody say, of us. Praise God. It cannot be of us. Thus, the title of the message today, because we are, everybody help me read it out loud, people of clay. Amen. It cannot be about us. It must be about Him. He made us. Right? Amen. And He formed us from the dirt. And so we are the people of clay. Praise the Lord. And so we're gonna go into that for just a little while. But thank you for being in the house of God. Thank you for being here today. Come back and be with us again this evening for the conclusion of the matter, or as Paul Harvey used to say it, the rest of the story. Amen. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us. Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to praise you for the privilege. We want to thank you again for the honor and for the opportunity. We do pray your blessings upon the preaching, the teaching, and the reaching. We ask you, Lord, to anoint it by your Spirit, or it is to no avail. We pray you touch it with your hands, and it will work. Nothing less than your will to be done today in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. People of clay. Have you ever felt unimportant? Have you ever felt inferior? Israel felt that way when Moses' spies reported back from their excursion into the promised land. They said, this is what they said. They said, and there we saw the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They thought they just saw themselves as insects, little grasshoppers. And they felt that, well, they knew it was a promise from God because they had been told this many times. But when they stepped into the promised land and saw the opposition, here's what they felt. And that is that something so great must be a jinx. There must be a trick to it. They were impressed with the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. A land unbelievably fertile. A land of incalculable promise. They were also impressed with the inhabitants of the land. They were so impressed, in fact, that they were beaten before they ever started. If there's fault, we can find it. If there's faith, we can find it. So, what are we going to find? Nothing and no one. Nothing or anything. Nothing can keep us from the promise. Except the way we perceive what's around the promise. The children of Israel saw giants. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. If you read the Word of God, they even said, they see us as grasshoppers. How did they know that? They were spies. They couldn't even talk to the people. That it was something they conceived in their mind. Amen. And so we need to understand that we conceive things in our mind. We conceive things in our hearts and our spirits. And if we're not careful, it will affect the whole future that we plan to enjoy with God. Amen. And so it did affect them, the children of Israel, to the point that they spent another 40 years in the wilderness. It was like the Lord said, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and let's do it again. And hopefully we'll get it right this time. And it was another 40. And just something you need to comprehend. We can turn 80 years old, but God can't. And so where time means everything to us, it means diddly to God. I'm sorry. Amen. We comprehend time in a totally different measure than God does. He doesn't even measure it. He made it, and that's all there was to it. It doesn't affect him. It never has. But it affects us tremendously. To where God may have another 40 years to deal with us, we may not have another 40 years for God to deal with us. Hello? Amen. And so we need to comprehend the fact that time is not our favorite friend. Amen. And so it must be spent wisely. And so we need to make that decision. Amen. If there's fault, if there's reason, we can find it. If there's faith, then we can find it. And so we need to make that choice. Praise the Lord. The princes of Israel were overwhelmed with their own inferiority. It was inevitable that they projected inferiority upon the inhabitants. They said, we were in our own sight, grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. Whatever we feel about ourselves, we think everyone around us feels that same way about us. That is not true. That is not true. Amen. What you need to fathom, all of us need to fathom, is people can love you like you are, whether you like it or not. Amen. I was loved until I changed. I told you, but you don't want me to walk you through the process that had to take place in my life. Amen. I remember shortly after I came to God, I worked at a little transmission place, and my dad came to see me and my brother-in-law. My dad parked in front of the business. I stepped out to greet him. He walked up to me and he said, is Daniel here? That's my brother-in-law. I said, yeah, he's in the back. He said, thank you very much. I said, Dad? He looked at me and he said, Kenny? I said, yeah. He said, I didn't even know you. Amen. I'm just saying, the Lord can love, people can love, and Christians can care and love. And whether you comprehend they really do or not, that's totally up to you. But we can love whether you love yourself or not, hoping that in one day that the changes take place, that God can change the inside to the outside to the point that you become the confident Christian that you need to be to accomplish the will of God. Amen. And so, you know, they didn't comprehend me the way I comprehended myself. They didn't think about me the way I thought about myself. And so, eventually, I got on the right page and I was able to become a team player. And that's exactly what I am today. Something small in the midst of something huge that God is using to do great exploits. Amen. This was not only really true as subsequent events revealed, but it highlights the double deception of an inferiority complex. The man who trusts in himself sooner or later feels like a grasshopper in his own sight. Proverbs 3:5. Amen. This is news that you can use. Amen. This is for all of us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. The children of Israel put words on the enemy and in their mind. We know for a fact, after you study the Word of God further than that, you'll find out that those giants in the Promised Land, they didn't think about the children of Israel as grasshoppers at all. They were afraid of them. They were intimidated by them. They were worried about them. But because the children of Israel felt they were, they felt like the world was looking at them like that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something about the city of Lexington and the county of Davidson. Amen. They're not looking at us like grasshoppers. They're looking at us like that miracle working church. They're looking at us like those people that know how to pray. They're looking at us as those people that are moving mountains. How in the world do you grow a church like that in a small community? How in the world do you have a vision like that in a small area? I'll tell you how. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we cannot look at ourselves among ourselves like the children of Israel did with the people in the promised land. Amen. We've got to come together somehow in some way. We got to make this thing work. And the miracle of it all is this. The Lord gave us the antidote for the whole situation. And that is the fact that He's filled us all with the Holy Ghost. He's filled us all with the same Spirit. So you come in here and you were Catholic. You come in here and you were Baptist. You come in here and you were Lutheran. You come in here and you were a distant cousin Pentecostal. Amen. You come in here and you're a little bit of everything. You come in here and you are nothing. That's the ones I love to get a hold of. Because when they come in with nothing, they're open for you to teach them something. Instead of coming in here and comparing us to everyone else. Listen, you can't do that because we are nothing like everyone else. We're doing our best to have a Bible revival. Amen. And not a mindset revival. And not a selfish-hearted revival. Amen. We're not in this for the offering. We're not in this for the prestige. We're not in this to fill up the thing. We're not in that. We're in this for the will of God. We're in this for the purpose of God. We're in this for the kingdom of God. Amen. So sit down. Let us teach something. Let us preach something. And you become something. Something full of confidence. Something full of strength. Something full of anointing. Eventually, the children of Israel marched into the promise and they took over the giants and received the milk, the and the honey. Amen. I don't want to wait another generation. Amen. You get that stubborn streak out of your spirit. Amen. You get that hard core out of your heart. And let's take over this county for the glory of God. Somebody say, yeah. I believe that's the will of God. I believe that's what the Spirit wants us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is. Amen. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Praise God. And so that's what we're going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. What a difference in the person who has God confidence. Now, I'm not talking about confidence in yourself. I don't think any of us will ever reach that utopia where we're 100% confident in ourselves. And the reason for that is because we cannot anticipate what the future is going to be 1 inch further than our nose. Some of us know a little bit more about the future than others. Amen. Because our nose is longer. I'm just simply saying. But we don't know what the future's going to hold. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We think we know. We make plans to know. But how many of you have had many tomorrows splattered and shattered? Absolutely. Because we have no clue. Amen. That's why I'm crying out today, God confidence, God security, Him King of Kings, Him Lord of Lords, because we have no clue. And when we give it all to God, everything's going to be all right. Amen. There is a security in that. There is a confidence in that. Amen. Amen. What are you? Are you an accidental, evolved compilation of male and female genes? Some people think so. Are you an animal with blood and organs and breath, with instincts and muscular reactions, no less and really no more than an ape in Africa, in the African jungle? Some people think so. Are you a lonely, isolated, universal happening, a blob soon to dry up, a ripple soon to cease, a speck soon to be blown away? Some people think so. But what are you really and truly? Ask your doctor. He'll tell you one thing. Ask your science professor. He'll tell you another. Ask the chemist and he will tell you something else. But ask God and God will tell you that you are the creation of his very hands. You are the fruit of his labor. You are the apple of his eye. To him, you're the best thing he ever created. You are the pride of his heart. You are the choice object of God's eternal love. If I kept preaching like that, you would leave out of here with a swollen chest and a big head. Hallelujah. Because that's exactly what you ought to have when it comes to having confidence in God. Make up your mind that you cannot not make this design. Amen. That you're not the big daddy and the big boss. You're not the big mama either. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you right now. Amen. We are humbled by the fact that we're God's creation. And since he created us, let's follow the creator. Let's chase after the creator. Let's look in the mirror and say, you ain't got it, but he has. Look in the mirror and say, you don't have it, but he's got it. Amen. The anointing that can break every yoke. The saving, the healing, the power. Amen. Listen, pottery is a science of man rather than manufacturing. Amen. It's not manufactured. It's got to be made by hand. Pottery has got to be made by hand. And that's why the prophet said, you're the potter and I'm the clay, because he makes every design by hand. Every hand. It's not manufactured. It's made by hand. The potter himself is the most important element when it comes to making a clay vessel. The clay comes after the potter. Don't ever forget that. Amen. You can't walk away from the potter and be successful as clay. He made the clay, so we lean on the potter. God said, I am the potter. You are the clay. Ever hear someone say, Mr. Jones is a self-made man? I've heard it, and I know what it generally means, but it's not really true. There are no self-made men. We are all the work of God's hand. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. Amen. I want to give you just a moment at the give you a look at the original plan. Long before the house you presently dwell in was erected, the house existed in the mind and in the thoughts of an architect or a builder. Also, long before the world existed in material form, long before you became flesh and blood, you existed in the mind of God. God is knowledgeable. Somebody say amen. In fact, he knows all things. God also wills things. He decrees things. He plans things. Not only has God planned what you presently are, but God is planning what you are capable of becoming. Now, we can lock in and remain what we are forever, and that will hinder and stop the work of God in our lives from us becoming what he has meant for us to be. That's our choice as well. Amen. God knows the precise processes needed to make you a vessel of honor. Amen. You will be or you will not be. Either way, you will be an example. The Lord will not waste his time. Amen. You determine what he's going to create, whether it makes it or whether it becomes an ultimate failure. But either way, it's going to be an example. The preachers across the nation and around the world will preach, be like him. Or they will preach, do not be like him. They will preach, be like her, or do not be like her. Amen. Ultimately, because of that individual's choice. Amen. A harlot, a whore, if you will, came and poured oil out on the feet of Jesus, and it so moved him and stirred him until he looked at his prestigious apostles and he said, let what this woman has done today be preached around the world until the day I come. Little did she know that worthless piece of humanity, that when she humbled herself and fell on his feet and gave her everything she had, gave him everything she had, every stuff that could have been sold and would have brought in a lot of money. It was costly. It was an alabaster box. It was costly. Little did she know that when she stood up, she was going to stand taller than she ever stood in her life, that she was going to be worth more than she had ever been worth in her life, that she would be a different lady than she had ever been in her life. I'm challenging somebody that whatever is most valuable to you, is it your stinking pride? Is it your arrogance? Is it that you want everybody to think you're something that you're really not? What is it? Is it the fact that you think you're nobody? Is it the fact that you think you're never going to make it? Is it the fact that you don't have the goods? Whatever it is, if you will throw it at his feet and worship him with it, you will rise up to be greater than you have ever been in your life. I would to God that you would hear what I'm saying right now. I hope it makes sense. I hope the anointing comes in on you from your head to your feet and it breaks the yoke and tears down every stronghold. My. Amen. If you desire to do good, if you desire beauty, if you desire perfection, God has a plan. He's the potter. He's the master workman. He will perfect you if you will yield to his hands. Green pottery or freshly created pottery must yet be, it's got to be fired. Oh boy, and that's the stuff we don't like. When the preacher says, come back tonight for the rest of the story. Amen. That's adding fire. Some people don't want that. And they are not going to have it. Amen. Don't you make me feel that I did my best, but they didn't want it. I do not want that in my mind about you as your pastor. Amen. But I'd like for it to be, I challenge them with more fire. So the pottery could become stronger and it would go beyond green and soft and pliable where other people can kick it and bust it, where other people can squeeze it and it becomes another shape that it shouldn't be. Amen. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say right here? Amen. Do you really get it? Amen. You need to get this. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because when I challenge you to stretch you, when I preach to you to move you and to stir your spirit, amen, it is nothing that should go over like water on the, amen. I'm not wasting my breath. I am simply telling you what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has pronounced in the Word of God, that if you want to be the person he wants you to be, you've got to give it a whole lot more fire. You've got to give it a whole lot more anointing. Amen. It's got to be more than a Methodist nod. It's got to be more than a Presbyterian visit to the house of God. It's got to be more than Catholicism. Amen. You can't cross God out. Amen. And you can't cross him out. You've got to get on the cross. The fire is burning. The anointing is breaking the yoke. The Spirit of God is moving. And I want every one of us to jump into the middle of that and be anointed of God. Our faith is going to be tried as fire. It's the furnace of life. It tempers us. It's the rocks and stones of the road which put toughness into our feet. It's the action, the pain of muscle reaching to their full capacity, the strain of lungs gasping for air that makes us strong and creates stamina for the race ahead. Amen. I remember one time, it just popped in my mind. When I was a kid, we lived on a dirt road. It had gravel on it. And we were kids, so we were always all over that road. And our feet, it was like we had shoes on. We had to look at our feet to see if we had shoes on or not. They were so tough. And it was like, I don't know, it was probably January. My dad looked down and I was barefooted. He said, son, you're going to go barefooted all winter long? You know? And man, If I were to accidentally step out into the driveway or whatever and on those same stones that I stepped on that dirt road, I'd fall down. How many of you understand what I'm saying? There's absolutely no difference about getting into this thing totally gung-ho, amen, and toughening yourself up and preparing yourself to even get stronger and tougher in the future, only to sit down on it, amen, and then all of that gets soft again. All of that gets tender again, amen. And the things you worshiped through with before, the things you prayed through before, the things that didn't bother you before, they're crushing your feelings. They're tearing your nerves up. They're causing you to lose sleep. You're tossing and turning, amen. You're missing church. You're laying out. Money's greater. This is greater. Prestige is better. A name is better. Amen. Compromising the word. Compromising this. Compromising that. Tagging in every now and then to feel better. Hello? We're getting soft and we're not able to take the blows that come against us as the people of God so that we can become what He has willed us, what the potter has willed the clay to be, so that we can take someone with us to a better place. Amen. What really makes life beautiful? Amen. We know it's not money that makes life beautiful. The rich, they're plagued with ulcers, nerves, breakdowns and disorders and alcoholism and unhappiness. Success doesn't necessarily make life beautiful. Executives, starlets, athletic champions, these two, they drink cups of bitterness. Really, when you get right down to it, only God, the master potter, can beautify our lives. It is He who must give us those finishing touches that make the real living thing. After the clay has been prepared, after the vessel has been formed, after the fire has been made, it's strong. Somebody shout, strong. Then the master picks up the brush and adds color. Color as beautiful as the rainbow and soft as the rising sun. Amen. Turning us into exactly what He would have us to be. Praise God. God, through Jeremiah, pronounces judgment upon the people because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear My word. That's what He said. I'm going to harden their hearts. If that's what they want, I'm going to give it to them. Folks, please, I am begging you. Don't go there. Do not go there. When the Spirit of God speaks and says, I will harden their heart, where they will not even feel conviction, where they will not even feel My Spirit. You do not want that. You think you do, but you don't. You say, well, how do I harden my heart? You don't have to do anything, and your heart will harden. You don't have to come back tonight. You don't have to pray anymore. You don't have to be in the prayer room. You don't have to be in Saturday night prayer. Saturday night prayer. You don't have to fast. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to give. You don't have to sacrifice. Work day. What do I have to do to harden my heart? Help me out, preacher. Okay, I'm going to help you out. You don't have to do anything. That's all it takes. It's just continue nothing. And the heart will grow hard and calloused. And not even the Spirit of God will penetrate it. Because the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Let's stand. But I have good news. The master potter can pick up the pieces. Amen. You say pick up the pieces. Yeah. Because Jeremiah gave them an illustration. He brought in the pottery and he broke it into tiny fragments on the rocks. And when he broke the pottery on the rocks, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, even so, will I break this people and this city as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. Jeremiah 19:11. You need it. I've heard the crash of those broken vessels. I've heard them in the cemetery, littered with the fragments of last chance and squandered opportunities. I've heard them in the tragedies of sin that was overtaken men, women, in the prime of life. But I have good news. The master potter can pick all of these pieces and remake your broken vessel brand new, regardless of your past, regardless of your neglects, regardless of your failures. The precious vessel of life can be transformed and remolded and refashioned through repentance and through faith. In one single moment of time, the marred failures of life can be transformed. Clay people? Yes. Earthen vessels? Yes. Created from dust and returning back to dust? Yes. But you belong to God. From the Old Testament, the Lord said, all souls are mine. God is not searching for golden vessels. He's not searching for silver and gold. He's not searching for ornamental vessels, but He is searching for clean vessels to fill His Spirit with and power. The good news is that the master potter can pick up the pieces and make your broken life brand new once again. If, and I say if, that is truly what you want. You see, folks, that's what we've got to want first. And then all these other things will be added to you. Be careful, because the enemy will try to add all those other things without us seeking the kingdom of God first. And we will surely get in trouble. Let's prioritize here today. Amen. And I'm going to ask, and you're going to have to be brave, are there any takers? I'm going to ask again, and you're going to have to be sincere, are there any takers? Is there any hunger? Is there any thirst? Is there anyone that wants it? Anybody that thirsts for it? Anybody that needs it? Anybody that senses, anybody that feels it, anybody, has the Spirit spoken? Has the will of God spoken? Has the mercy and the grace of God spoken? Can you still hear His voice? If you can, please don't harden your heart. If you can, melt your spirit. If you can, pour out in repentance. If you can, pour out and let God anoint it. You can pour it out and let the Lord strengthen it. Come on, give Him a fragment so He can build upon it. Give Him a vessel so He can pour into it. Give Him hope so He can help you. Let Him see the gleam, the glisten in your eye of desire. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. My God. My God. My God, my God.
Break every chain.
Break it, Lord.
Break every chain.
Break it, Lord.
Break every chain.
Oh, my Lord, Holy Ghost, right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Release your Holy Ghost.
There is power.
Release your Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
Oh,
there is power.
Yeah. There's power. There's power. There's authority. There's power.
There is power.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Holy God. We've got to believe it. We've got to believe it. We've got to believe it. We've got to live it. We got to understand this. There's power in the name of Jesus. Put it on everything.
Break every chain.
Put it on everything.
Break every chain.
Everything.
Break every chain.
Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain.
Put it on your blessing. Put it on your trouble. Put it on your trials. Put it on your tribulation. Put it on the anointing. Put it on your family. Put it on your groceries. Put it in your car. Put it in your home. Put it on your wife. Put it on your husband. Put it on your children. Break every chain, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Could we just one more time just raise our hands, shout hallelujah, giving God thanks, giving God praise that He's still able to speak to us, that He's still able to minister to us, regardless of how long we haven't been in church, regardless of how long we have been in church, that the Spirit of God is here to help us. Amen. That He's here, still here to stretch us and grow us. I am not what I want to be. Thank God for what He has done. But I know He's not finished. I know He's not finished. He can't be. Amen. I need more and I want more. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Come early for prayer tonight. Let's have great church in this house this evening once again.